This is KWAI, Honolulu, 1080 on the AM dial.
You know that Ross's Appliances and Furniture is the leading appliance and furniture recycler in Hawaii. Ross's has been producing quality new and renewed appliances for decades. Ross's now debuts their new Green Bed Factory, Hawaii's environmentally conscious mattress and box spring factory. You can save your budget, your back, and the planet all at the same time at Ross's. Go green, save green at Ross's Big Green Building. Check it out for yourself. Ross's will save you hundreds of dollars, and they guarantee it.
To the Carol Cox Show here at K108, beautiful Honolulu. Just excited today to get back with you and hope you're out there listening. And if you have any comments, do feel free to call in at 524-1080. And anything, of course, we talk about on air here is available on iPod or download or internet at carolcox.com. That's C-A-R-R-O-L-L cox.com. Anyway, quite often you hear me talking about government issues, government concerns, and I'll never let up because it's bad. And I hope through this, I don't want to sound as if I'm becoming an old man who's just dissatisfied with everything and anything and anybody. What I'm trying to convey here through examples and specific examples, and quite often I'm reminded that we don't call names in this town. We tend to acknowledge the problem in a fashion that we'd rather deal with it as an ostrich. We put our heads in the sand and then we acknowledge it amongst ourselves, but how dare we talk openly about it? So I'm personally against that practice and don't subscribe to it and never will, because when it comes to the government, we don't want to malign individuals, but what we do want to do is expose the actual activity that people are doing, how they're behaving when they're appointed. Why did they get appointed? When they get appointed, what do? Are they serving themselves? Are they serving the public? On and on and on. So over the last week, 2 weeks, you may have seen on Channel 2 KHON a story about a fishing vessel called the Pacific Shores. Now, we discovered that vessel sitting there at Pier 38, 36 in that area. And this is the absolute perfect example of where government really gives little or have no concern for what's right and what's wrong. And then through this, it appears that not only do they believe that they are above the law, they believe that they are exempt from the law and that they can ignore people like myself even when we call to inquire. This vessel, the Pacific Shores, having a little technical problem here. Okay. This vessel, the Pacific Shores there, that's a lot better. Okay. Was brought in by an individual who purchased this vessel and wanted to convert it to a fishing vessel and obtain a federal loan from the Department of Agriculture, Rural Business District, or whatever that department is. And the interesting thing is they took this business and they call themselves the Pacific Shores LLC, and they had also another company, Southern Ocean. And they obtained a loan, took out this loan. And the best we know is that they defaulted, and this is per the Department of Transportation Harbors Division, Bill Davis. Now, they inform us that they defaulted on this loan, and the vessel set at Pier 40, which is the property of the state. And it sat there for approximately 4 to 6 years. I don't know the exact date because, as you'll hear later, when we inquired, we made a request for documents, and we were promised those documents about 2 weeks ago. Upon making that request, they would get them to us in a couple of days. But for some reason, we can't get the documents now. So instead of waiting for them, we went ahead and did our own research and got documents the best we could. But this vessel, give you a little background on it. It's 126.5 feet long. It was built in 1945. It was originally called the Alaskan Shores. And this vessel then was purchased through this individual, Mark Collins, of Pacific Shores or Southern Shores business. Anyway, Mark Collins, apparently, and others, we pulled up their letters of incorporation and annual filings and did, in fact, confirm that. But the problem is, upon abandoning this vessel, what happened was it had what appears to be asbestos tiles or asbestos pipes used for insulation. When I say appear, it is transite, and it's used to insulate. So we didn't test it, and quite naturally, we won't test it. But we observed that sitting on the deck of this vessel, and a lot of it is broken up. There's fiberglass panels, and then there's paint. Now, keep in mind, this is a 1945 vessel. Lead paint concerns, anti-fouling agents is a big concern. So the feds, the Department of Agriculture, abandoned this vessel because when they learned, I'm told, the amount of money, about $2,200 per month for the last 6 years for mooring this vessel, they decided they would relinquish all rights to this vessel, and guess who takes possession of it? The state of Hawaii. So why would the state of Hawaii take this vessel? The big question is, we the taxpayers here in the state, well, it's all taxpayers' money, even at the federal level, but the money is set aside in our funding here in the state. So why would the state accept this vessel? Well, they accepted this vessel because they felt that they wanted to auction it off. They wanted to get rid of it. But there's a little more sinister activity occurring here. They have an individual, as they described to me in the state, that is interested in purchasing this vessel. But they didn't bid on the vessel to win a bid. It was put up for bid. And they didn't, no one won the bid or nothing was bid. But now they claim, the state claims, that there's an individual who wishes to purchase this vessel. Why wouldn't they make this individual pay for the vessel and take it out of the water, dry dock it, and contain the asbestos, the lead, and all those other things that are of concern? But what's really bad is that on the deck of this vessel, both the bow and the stern, you'll see oil, hydraulic fluids, and in buckets, and on the deck. And there's absolutely nothing. No measures were taken place or put in place to prevent this oil from leaking or running off into the ocean when it rains, or just running into the ocean. So they set this vessel. It's the first thing that greets you when you pull in the Pier 36. Now, keep in mind, the people that run this are professionals. These are the harbor masters, the harbor patrol, the deputy director, director, Brendan Morioka. There's Mr. Michael Fombry, who has some background. He's an attorney. He was recently, when I say recently, appointed by Governor Lingle to head as a deputy director of the Transportation Harbors Division. And Mr. Formby is the president and treasurer of the Frame, Formby, and Oconee Attorneys at Law and serves as a senior trial lawyer. Now, Mr. Formby was also the vice chair or chairman of the Land Use Commission. And if you go to our site there, or go to KHON News, and you can pull up the Pacific Shores and see what Mr. Fundry relates or communicates on air. He claimed that the vessel, the oil on the vessel was cleaned up. There was a small spot, and it was cleaned up, and there was, I'm paraphrasing, there was nothing, no way oil could get into the water because it was nowhere near any scuppers or portholes. Scuppers are the things that on the boat that when the boat takes on a lot of water from a heavy wave, it is able to run off. So he stood there and denied that there were any oil. And as he's saying that in this video, you can see that, that I took myself, that you can see the oil sitting on the bow. So just completely inaccurate and misrepresenting the facts. Why would he do that when we clearly called him and he simply initially would not respond to a phone call, would not talk to us, just basically ignored us. Even to this date, 2 weeks later, we have not received a single document, and they have a 10-day working day to respond, but we haven't received a single document. And this is really, really bad in that these environmental concerns expose people to hazards, the oil, expose the fish, the water, and all. Why would the Department of Transportation take on a vessel and then leave it there? If the other boaters were to do that, I can assure you they would be fined or taken to court or something to have recovery and put it to stop. But the Department of Transportation seems to be above the law. And what they did was also a bigger problem. When they take this boat, for example, and they bring this boat in, this boat, I'm told originally they were going to take it out and sink it. This is what the Department of Transportation had considered. So we're getting two conflicting stories here. One, they have someone that wants to buy it, but they're going to prepare it for sinking. And when asked how much would it cost to sink the vessel, they inform me, well, to clean up the oil, the asbestos, and the wires, and make it suitable for and clean it, it would cost us about $80,000. So that's the big question. Why would the state government accept from the federal government a vessel that the federal government, knowing that it costs to clean this vessel and pay for the mooring, why would the state offer to take possession of this vessel and spend the money? At least there's about $100,000 when you add it all up and to get rid of this. So why would they do that? There is something very, very wrong with this situation. And it speaks of conflicts. It speaks of special interests, special favors, because if the individual that now wish to buy the boat, if that is true, then they wouldn't disclose that information to us. But yet, it is the state who is paying to keep this vessel and keep it safe and keep it secure and avoid the individual that's wanting to buy paying the mooring. So something's really wrong. So anyway, a little more background on Formby. Mr. Michael D. Formby. He's an adjunct professor at the Admiralty Law at the University of Hawaii, William Richardson School of Law. He also served as an adjunct professor of business law at Hawaii Pacific University. In 2004, Formby was appointed to the Land Use Commission, State Land Use Commission, and currently serves as its vice chairman. He is actively involved with the Hawaii Chamber of Commerce and actively supports the Hawaii Humane Society and American Society of Prevention of Cruelty to Animals. A graduate of Texas A&M University, formerly received his law degree from South Texas College of Law. This is a deputy director now of the Department of Transportation's Harbors Division, who flat out refused to even respond to give a call back to us. We called several times. Either he was in a meeting or was busy, the following day we'd get the same runaround. But eventually spoke with him. And even yet, when presenting Formby with this information, telling we have video of the oil running into the ocean, he flat out denied and objected, and in fact objected to me even calling him. He, to quote him, he doesn't appreciate me calling him, or he don't appreciate this phone call. So this is the type of people that Governor Lingle appoints. They're bigger, higher, more important than you and I, the citizen. Even, we're not trying to dictate their work, the activities that they do. But even when you come to them with a problem, they refuse to talk to you. They simply think they're above the law. And in this case, so what happens? To try and get results from this, because they apparently didn't believe, as I had predicted, that it would rain and the oil would continue to run off into the ocean, I suggested that they put absorbent pads at least, but really wanted them to clean it up and get the boat out of the water, put it in dry dock. But they flat out ignored that. So a couple of days later, it rains hard, and I go down and videotape it, and voila, here's the oil running down. So they still refused to do anything. So I was then prompted to contact the Coast Guard. So even when you try to work with the state and give them time to respond, they refuse. So then I contacted the Coast Guard and filed a formal complaint, and hopefully some legal action will be brought against them, because we just can't afford this. If the regulatory body, the Department of Harbors and Transportation, is willing to behave in this fashion, what does that say about our protection of the environment? DLNR, being a sister agency, didn't even respond to the calls. I've asked people, have they seen anybody down at the piers from DLNR? No one has seen anyone there. I attempted to contact and spoke with a harbor officer, patrol officer, and it just didn't, he absolutely didn't know anything about it and didn't have any interest. So anyway, this something got to stop. It just does not make sense to have Governor Lingle appointing people such as Fombry in these capacities, and then when to behave and make such decisions and allow these types of things to go on, and then when you call them, they resist you, they ignore you, they simply do nothing for the environment. So anyway, it's not a gripe. It's just, once again, and I have many issues here that I'm going to share with you today regarding this situation. And I'm a little appalled at what is going on. And take, for example, Fombry was chairman or chair of the committee, the Land Use Committee, when we went before them for the Ko'olina boat ramp issue. Now, we went in and proved our case. It was clear that we proved our case. But Fombry, as chairman, instead of making a ruling and coming quick with it, he delayed it. This delay took some more than a year. When he could have taken that information, it was clear. The rules were there. It was clear the rules were broken. It was clear that Ko'olina had destroyed the boat ramp that was left for the public. But Fombry, in a technique stalling from the public, decided to delay it. So a lot of questionable behavior on this guy, and now he has found his way into the Harbors Division. Anyway, we got a call. It's Ed, you there? Good morning, Ed. How are you?
I just been listening. I don't know all the background, but you kept saying they do not respond to us. We do this. Who is us and who is we, and what is your official capacity to demand answers from certain governmental agencies?
Well, Steve, good morning, and how are you? I know you say it's Ed, but, you know, how are you doing,
Ed,
Steve?
Edward Stevens, my name.
I know, but, you know, you've called in 100 times as Ed, as Steve, and now you want to be Ed. That's when I began to ask, who's the us, who's the they, who's the them, and who are you to call in and pretend? Just be consistent. There's no secrets here. As I've shared with you many times, and I always welcome your call, and we'll entertain such questions. Who is us? Us can be anybody. I, me, you, they. But when I go into these situations, there are other people that are working with me. And I don't think that's relevant. The real issue here is there a boat? Is there a boat with materials that's consistent with asbestos? Is there oil leaking in the waters? I would think, and not being condescending or disrespectful, but Casper the Friendly Ghost might have a reason to complain. Or the fish, if there's a talking fish. I mean, as I say, anybody. But if you have a question of substance, that's fine. When you say that who is us, we the people own the government. I don't know how you and I could have gotten this old and not recognize that by now.
What I'm saying is, when you say us, does it mean you have an organization?
Yes.
You're a one-man organization.
Well, it depends. If the situation, clearly, if we run a website, run a web show, run a radio show, and then out there investigating, clearly it's more than one person. Does that satisfy you?
No. What's confusing to me when you say we.
Yeah, but did you get the point that there is a boat down there leaking oil? Did you get that?
A point.
Okay.
Good idea, because I'm anti-state also, like you.
No, I'm not. No. Wait, no. I'm not anti-anything. As I share with you up front, my purpose is to set examples. I don't want to be the old guy who's anti, who's pissing and moaning about something. I want to do something about it, right? And that's a big difference. I'm never anti anything. I am pro doing it right, because we have a future ahead of us, and we have children following us, right? Children will come along, and if we've deprived and robbed them of what we have had the opportunity to enjoy, then that's the us, the we, the them, the I. You follow?
I follow. So you're speaking as an individual citizen by questioning.
No.
The state harbors, any citizen can make a complaint, right, when they see something that's not right.
Well, yeah, so why are you call up and asking me if you know these things?
I just wondering when you kept saying we.
Yeah.
If you said I would not have called.
Well,
as an individual citizen, then I say you have every right. But there is something sinister in this particular situation as to why the state is protecting the ship.
Right.
I'm glad you're going into it, but I just want to know if they're not responding to you, maybe they're not responding to you. They don't have to respond. Maybe when Lingle or Iona gets on the radio talk show, maybe this is a good time to directly ask them if they're allowed to get on the model of my talk show.
Well, their shows generally, when they come on, they have their questions and they have their statements and plan. But here's the thing. When I share with you and the general public, I am not the type of messenger who seek to have his head cut off and his tongue cut out. I'd respectfully ask that if there's a question of substance, then come on with it. But if this is what I want you and the other listeners to understand, one thing with me, facts, facts, and facts. If it goes beyond that, then no problem. Then I would ask you to call up and ask, who are they? But take me on the facts. Take me and ask me, do I have a document So if I had no voice as an individual, a group wouldn't matter either. These issues are something that you and I have a right to, because it is our government that is supposed to regulate. If you look at the Hawaii Revised Statutes, it's to provide the average citizen or every citizen freedom from contamination, right? Degraded environment and all, right?
Well, so, you know, I agree with you. Yeah. Take the fish business. When you went to Don Coyote, talk to the manager about the fish, look, man, I tell you, get off my property. Who are you?
Well, yeah, and I think you would probably get some great pleasure in saying that, but there's a sting that comes with that, because, you see, the problem is you sold me fish that has contamination. You sold me fish that would have carbon monoxide, which is a deadly gas. You're selling... Well, so see, when you sold me that as the manager that would kick me out, then I would say, well, you don't want to be civil about it, then I'll take you to court. You know, so there's many...
Wouldn't the proper authority be the health department you have gone to? Of course,
right.
I will respond to you.
Well, I think, and keep in mind, Steve or Ed, keep in mind that what I say to you, and you're always welcome to call in, don't take anything personal, but I have to digress and say to you, I've told you all of that in the earlier shows that... when I call up and ask the state, for example, do you have any records of people getting sick, and they deny it, then I find documentation that say that they're conducting an investigation because people have gotten sick. So when you say who are we, who are they, it's irrelevant at that point. I would say if I was you, I would take a different attitude and appreciate the fact and make an assessment of the facts, not who or the messenger. Don't kill the messenger. And that's the what is consistently practiced here, and they can employ that. So anyway, I got another call.
Well, one more.
Go ahead.
In the case of the fish with Don Coyote or other stores that sell this unacceptable fish, wouldn't it be nicer to get this information out to the general public rather than just this radio station? I don't know how many listeners you have. Maybe get a space on midweek. I wouldn't go to the other two rags, Top Open Advertiser, because, you know, they're too limited. Nobody buys it anymore. Whereas midweek is read, you know, distributed to practically everybody on the state.
Yeah.
Maybe you could get a space to write an article like Ray Kamada has an article.
Well, okay.
I would appreciate that.
Well, okay, Steve, what has happened is that I think you've missed some of these. Many of these issues have been on TV. I have had them in the newspaper. In fact, just 2 weeks ago, the Star Bulletin did an article. So in this radio show, we get about 7,000 downloads per month. So when you say, I don't know what is enough. But anyway, let me get to this other call. And do feel free to call in, and not a challenge here, but it's all about facts. Okay?
Yeah,
thank you.
Anytime,
and do call back. Thanks. Good morning, Jerry.
Hey, morning, Carol. Morning.
Aloha.
I
want
to say to Steve or Ed or Fred that I'm one of the thousands of us or we's that are out here that really are appreciative of you getting down there to the dock, you getting down there to the market, checking on this stuff for us. So just that short comment. That
okay.
When you say us or we, hey, we're behind you, Carol.
All right.
We appreciate it.
Aloha.
Thanks a lot, man.
Mahalo. Thank you. Yes, M, how are you this morning?
Yes, I was going to say the same thing. I'm so grateful to have you here helping us. You know, sometimes maybe Linda Lingo doesn't know because nobody told her, so you go tell her for us.
Right.
Everything will be fixed up. I really appreciate you. You're our guardian angel. I like people like you living amongst us. Come on, come on, like Carol Cox.
All righty.
A one supervisor for us. Aloha.
Aloha. Mahalo. Anyway, we're going to take a break right quick. Just want to get, and folks, whatever, I appreciate all of you out there and support, and I know factually that Steve is not a mean-spirited person, and I like that. I want people to challenge me, and because that's how I, quote, media became corrupted, I'm told. No one ever challenged what was written. They had no means. So this effort that I'm putting forward is to simply bring to the table facts. And then anytime you have a question about what I say or speak about, please feel free. And always remember that you don't have to protect these entities, the government and Don Quixote. They have lawyers, batteries of lawyers, and they have the right to sue. So if I challenge them on something and it's not factual or inaccurate, always remember, they're not going to rely on you to protect them. I'm here to try and protect you, me, and others that have no voice. So anyway, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back. You can call in 524-1080. This is the Carol Cox Show, KWAI 101.
Now you can get great bargains and help save our landfill at the same time, only at the Green Bed Factory. The Green Bed Factory is Hawaii's only recycled bed company. Quality mattresses and box springs are stripped, cleaned, sanitized, and completely rebuilt using all new fabric and padding. Local labor and local materials means a local product. Save shipping costs and, of course, save money. Visit our website at thegreenbedfactory.com or stop by our showroom at Ross's Appliances and Furniture. Ross's and the Green Bed Factory will save you hundreds of dollars, and we guarantee it.
By the light of the silvery moon, I want to spoon to my honey. I'll croon love's honeymoon, keep a shining in June. Your silvery beams will bring love dreams. We'll be cuddling soon by the silvery moon,
by the light,
by the light
of the silvery moon,
of the silvery moon.
I want to spoon.
Ah, let me spoon
to my honey. I'll croon,
honey. I'll be crooning.
Honeymoon, keep a shining in June.
A shining.
Your silvery beams will bring love's dreams. We'll be cuddling.
We'll be cuddling pretty soon.
By the silvery moon.
By the silvery moon.
Welcome back to the Carol Cox Show here at K108. Loving every minute of it. Anyway, Steve mentioned about fish, we're putting up flyers and passing out, and a couple of things you should know about before you buy fish here. Most of the imported fish comes from boats and other sources that have little or no regulations to protect turtles, seabirds, marine mammals, and sharks. So you might want to give consideration to that kind of when you purchase. It don't be, as my friend said, selfish and think about the price. Think about the overall price that we pay. So when we buy fish from the Philippines or wherever, and it's with carbon monoxide, you got an inferior quality, number one. And secondly, here, now there's never a perfect situation, and don't ever want to represent that everything here in the local fisheries is perfect. We have rules, and they are regulated, and they have observers, and there are interactions. But this is a heavily regulated industry here, so why would we subject the local fishermen to strict and heavy regulations when they put their fish on the market, and in turn allow a fish that comes from a another country that has little or no regulatory oversight, and if they do, we would never know and have no way of actually confirming that. So local fish is called environmentally responsible regulations and is sustainable fisheries, as they have found monitored by the National Marine Fisheries Service and cited as a role model for fisheries worldwide by the UN Food and Agriculture Organization. So if you check our history, this isn't someone that's in bed with the industry. It is something that if you know, as we know now, the shark fin, for example, we had bills, law passed here locally that prevented or made it illegal for local vessels to land shark fin while from tuna fishing or swordfish fishing. But the sad part about that is tuna fleets in Majuro and other places catch tuna and in turn also catch shark fin. And to add insult to injury, the shark fin is brought into this state, into the U.S., and landed right here in Honolulu by RC International, who rents a state facility from the Harbors Division, and in turn, they allowed them to offload shark fin while just one pier over, the local fishermen will be arrested and tried and hung out to dry if they were caught shark finning. So mixed messages, and it is causing some serious problems. We have concerns with the inspection of imported fish. So there's many, many issues. So the next time that you go out and buy fish, think about that. Think about your keikis. Think about your health. And think about the health of other environmental concerns and species in other countries that we don't have regulatory authority over, but we do have discretion in buying. So anyway, just something I want to share with you. But backing up to the Harbors Division, and quite naturally, I wished I could convey, and I'm actually going to put together a show to talk about how difficult it is and how almost impossible it is to access your government, and when you do, you get one more most disrespectful practice that one could ever imagine. First of all, they set up a public information officer, and you have to talk to them. You rarely now can talk to a state worker or a federal worker directly. You have to go through a public information officer. If you want to talk to the governor, you have to go through the public information officer, and they might get back to you. You first, the experience is you call in, and you ask the question, your original question, and they tell you, can't comment, you need to talk to the public information officer. You then get a number, and you call the public information officer, and in my case, 9 times out of 10, I'll get a recording. Hi, this is public information officer Miss X or Mr. Y, and I'm not available now, but you can leave a message. If this is an emergency, please call my cell number. You call that cell number, and you get nothing. So this is what, and I'm not going to blame legal for this in totality, but I have seen an increase, an experience, an increase where you are out of touch. You cannot reach your government, and when you do, you're lied to. And if you go to our website or go to KHON, you will see, as Fumbry, the direct deputy director of transportation, is saying, we clean up all the oil. There is no oil within 10 feet of any drain or scuppers, and we're looking, it's running out of the scuppers. And so you choose for yourself and make your decisions, but these are the problems that you and I will experience. If you go down and go down to the Kalani Moku building, if there's a meeting, first of all, you got to find parking. If you find parking, you got to pay for it. While many of the cars that are sitting there are the cars belonging to the workers or office personnel, why don't they make more parking spaces? And when you're going to your government offices, why don't they have free parking space so the public, if you have a cause to speak with your government or interact with your government, it should be accessible. But instead, you go in, you got to put quarters in the machine, you got to find the machine, first of all, I should say, and then you're charged maybe for every quarter 10 minutes or 15 minutes. And then you go in, and they may have moved your matter up on the agenda, telling you, or they may put your agenda at the tail end. So when it comes to communicating with your government, we are stuck in the mud. And I tell you, this administration, it is also the same. It's consistent with the city. It's consistent with the state. But these two new, Hanneman and Lingle, have employed a tactic and a technique that I had not seen ever. If you go in and you make a call, they may have the document right there, but if it's something that's not favorable or that might expose them for some wrongdoing or some of their behavior that is questionable, they then tell you, we have 10 working days, so you'll have to wait. So to let the steam, and then they go out and do a press release to take out the steam or preempt you. So, and even when you get the documents, you got to pay. There's inconsistencies. For example, if you go to the city, you go there, and they tell you it's 50 cents. Well, first of all, $5 for the first hour, look at the records, for them to grab the records. Then it's 50 cents for the first document and 25 cents for any document afterwards. Now, all of that is layered. And this is what you and I have to do and have to wade through and navigate through to simply communicate with our government. And if it's an action against you, they are aggressive. But if it's something where you need to ask questions of them, they get you in this spider web, so to speak. And this web that they weave is absolutely taxing. It taxes. Some people just don't have the money. So what does that do? It discourages. It discourages people from participating in their government. It discourages people from going to these meetings because it's costly. And then when you, let's say you can afford to pay for the documents, you can afford to pay for the parking. Here's the problem. When you get all of that information, then they're going to have a meeting and a hearing. You go back in. And you get 1 minute to talk, if that. And then it has to be of a substance or material that they approve, because quite often you'll get the chairman or someone on that committee to raise an objection and say, well, we don't want to talk like that or what have you. So our government, we are so far removed and detached now. And if you go back to Lingle's, for example, her state of state, you'll see she talked about how she was going to bring transparency and all. If this is transparency, folks, I don't want to see what it is to be blind in the dark. Because I can tell you, when I call and ask questions, these are questions of specific in nature. We ask those questions, or I ask them, or whomever. But, and it's just not me who's experiencing this. It is just absolutely mind-boggling as to what these tactics that are being employed. And when you have to ask yourself, a guy like Fombry, he was a chairman, he's a lawyer, maritime lawyer, he's represented some of the bigger companies locally here, and he finds his way to the Land Use Commission. And then the governor's message number 201 and 202, this is where the Committee on Water and Land Agriculture, was referred to by the governor. Michael Fombry, number 201, this is where he was nominated for a term to expire 6/30/2008. But he was already working as a deputy director of the in of the Transportation and Harbors Division, July 26, 2007, he was appointed. This is what the governor's press release on the state website, on the July 26, 2007, he was appointed to that position as the deputy director. And yet, he was brought on for the Land Use Commission. His term would have expired 6/30/2008. So I'm only able to tell you, I question that when you have the special interest, and maybe he brings some things to the table that the governor really needs. But I'm questioning the manner in which he has responded to myself and others that I've spoken with on this. Some fishermen said that they had contacted the Harbors Division, because this vessel, by the way, that's Pacific Shores that I talked about, actually was taking up space and the creating a dangerous position for the fishermen, who would have to, what they call, bunker their boats, stack them three along one another. One would tie up to the pier, and then the others would bunker or tie off to them. And so in order to get to the third boat, you'd have to hop on the first boat, hop over the second boat, and get on the third boat. So when these fishermen try to load their bait and offload or what have you, or something heavy, they'd have to lift it over three boats to get there, while this vessel is sitting there soaking up the sun and blocking the way. So this is just not a wise use in those terms, a wise use of the resources. And why would they do that, to interfere with the local fishermen and the fishing boats there and create hazardous conditions? So it's a lot to be said and a lot of questions to be asked. What is actually going on with these so-called experts? And I am really, really concerned. So anyway, you just can't any longer, what I'm learning from this, you just can't call your government now and get a straight answer or a fair treatment. You simply can't. And I'll challenge anybody, if Lingle or Hanneman or anybody wants to come on, I will say to them and give them the instances, perfect examples. We are going to be talking about the Wymanala Gulch landfill, and we're going to be talking also about the city and county of Honolulu, a situation way back in 2003, where we discovered the illegal dumping by the city and county of Honolulu, some 300 tons of white goods, refrigerators and washing machines and what have you, buried illegally. Well, they were fined some $500,000, supposedly, and I have now asked for those documents. And what I got was a settlement agreement, but I don't see any documentation where they've actually collected from the city, the state being the people who would do the collecting. So we have some serious problems here. For example, when we find this information and report it, we want to know, kept apprised of what's going on. When we ask questions, they tell us they can't talk because it's under review, it's under investigation. So we wait now. That was in 2003 when we found that. So I've waited now some 5 years to ask questions, and so I've asked the question, and here's what they do. They do a supplemental environmental project. In other words, the state looks at the city and say, okay, you've been wrong, and we're going to fine you, but here's what we're going to do. We want $117,000, or $117,000 for, as using this, it's called the Supplemental Environmental Project. And the state is saying, if we ever need to use trucks or heavy equipment to the city, we want you to provide us that amount of labor in cleaning up or helping us out. So is that really a fine? But we don't really get to see any of this, any of it. And so how it works is that the Lingle administration, through the Attorney General Bennett, have put up a wall of interference, a wall of delay. We have actually filed an appeal in federal court, for example, on the Wymanala Gulch landfill settlement, where they have put aside $600,000, $637,000 in a SCP fund, which is supposed to go through DBED, Department of Business and Economic Development. And they would administer this fund and give it to the community. But they don't have a mechanism. But the problem is, we were asking the government and the governor to allow us to participate and just attend some of the hearings. We were denied. They went behind closed doors. And in turn, so now, back in last year, this settlement came about, and I'm just now getting my hands on it, and a few others in the community just got their hands on it in September of this year. So when all I can say to you is that each of these people, Lingle and Hanneman, has an interest in becoming congressman, governor, or senator. And I think what I am going to do is forever be reminded and keep this in mind, that if I can't trust you and you can't respect me as a citizen and as a taxpayer who has stock in this government, then I don't want you for anything. And I think that if you're going to employ the corporate strategy of having public information officers, then what you have sent us is a clear message. It's not of the people, for the people, and by the people. It is simply you have a different interest, and you're not efficient as a government. Your management techniques is not efficient. The question and an answer to that is, you look at the tourism, it's down. You look at businesses, they're failing. You look at foreclosures. So what are they really hiding? What is it that they're really doing? And I suspect what I'm seeing is an action on their part, the government management and the people we vote in. It's to serve themselves for their industries and from which they work in as professionals, and to better themselves. It's not the betterment of the people. And I will challenge anyone in government. And some say, well, we don't have but a small show. This is not a small show. I tell you that now. And it'll get bigger, because the people out there are sick and tired of being kept at bay and made promises to that simply can't be kept. And they never intended to keep these promises. So when we see this behavior, I'm looking at a stack of papers here now, that about five other instances where it would take me another 2 days to just convey how things have unfolded and developed. And we are just simply, we're being kept in the dark. As they say, we're treated like mushrooms, I guess. You know the old saying, and we're kept in the dark. And so we need a more respectful government, especially in these times. And when you leave a boat sitting out with the oil and leaking, you have a problem with your integrity. You're bankrupt in integrity, and you're bankrupt in responsibility. So anyway, thank you for listening. And you can pick this up on carolcox.com. That's carolcox.com. And we'll have pictures, and you can also access the KHON website and see the actual video if you didn't get a chance to see it. And thank you again. Aloha.
You know that Ross's Appliances and Furniture is the leading appliance and furniture recycler in Hawaii. Ross's has been producing quality new and renewed appliances for decades. Ross's now debuts their new Green Bed Factory, Hawaii's environmentally conscious mattress and box spring factory. You can save your budget, your back, and the planet all at the same time at Ross's. Go green, save green at Ross's Big Green Building. Check it out for yourself. Ross's will save you hundreds of dollars, and they guarantee it.
Thank you.
KWAI, Honolulu, 1080 on the AM dial. I, Honolulu, 1080 on the AM dial.